Sims, Real World Test Drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I did it again. Doggone it, I did it again. I shared a post as the wrong person. This is what happens when you have too many doggone Facebook pages. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Now I'm sharing this as Alan Taylor. I've put happening now. The show is starting, everybody. Listen, because Stephen Cole Smith, motorsports expert, is going to be on the show. Happening now. Now I got to go in and erase. Ah, I still don't have this social media crap down. It's driving me nuts, everybody. Are you doing social media yet? If you're not, well, maybe you shouldn't start because it's all consuming. Anyway, I start the show again, doggone it, trying to be timely with stuff. You know, I hate reading stuff like a day ago, and I want to be right on top of the news. So I have all these friends out there, and one of the dearest friends, the guy that I love absolutely the most of all of my really bizarre friends, is Stephen Cole Smith. I cherish him. He's on the line right now. Steve, are you there, buddy?
I'm here, man, but I don't understand. What do you mean you shared the wrong post as the right person or what? Or is this like the Alan Taylor, with the transvestite Alan Taylor or something?
Yeah, I've got Sharon Taylor. I've got Alan Taylor. I've got Larry Taylor. I got a whole bunch of Taylor, so I can do all kinds of different things with my pseudonyms, you know, those stage name things. So,
right,
yeah, hold on. Let me just do this one. Got a new pair of high heel shoes, learning how to walk all over again. Bing! There we go. All right, that was under Sharon Taylor. Anyway, Steve, where are you today?
I'm actually in Jefferson, Georgia right now, but I'm about to head out to Braselton, Georgia, which is the site of Road Atlanta, the road course for the final IMSA WeatherTech sports car race of the season, Petit Le Mans, a 10-hour endurance race that starts in a couple hours.
So, let's just see. How do I get this thing going here? The question is, when you say endurance race, now you've got NASCAR races, you've got what they call sprint cup racing, and then you've got endurance racing. Explain to the world who doesn't understand the different types of racing that you cover, because obviously you cover it all, and people can find you where again?
Oh, racer.com, Auto Week, sometimes automobilemagazine.com, automobilemag.com. Just pretty much any place that'll pay me. I'm kind of a prostitute like you. Just, you know, it's just the highest bidder gets anything, and sometimes you don't have to bid all that damn high. So, anyway, NASCAR races are generally by mile, like 400, 500 miles, and endurance racing for sports cars, the shortest race that they do is 2 hours and 40 minutes. So really, they're all endurance races, but the four times a year they go beyond that. The first is, of course, the Daytona 24 hours, and then the 12 hours of Sebring. Then they have a six-hour race at Watkins Glen, and the season finale, which settles the points today, is Petit Le Mans. It's 10 hours. It's a long, long race on a grueling track. Road Atlanta is only about 2.5 miles, and it is a tough little track. So it really separates the men from the not-so-men.
Well, it's kind of like the Baja 500 or 1000 of automobile racing, this type of endurance racing. The same with off-road racing. It is endurance of, you know, kind of machine versus Mother Earth, man and machine versus Mother Earth. And a lot of times Mother Earth wins.
It actually will. I mean, we've got close to, I think, 40 cars, and I guarantee probably half will be running at the end of this thing. Each team has three drivers. Generally, there's two drivers per team, so a lot of them have added an extra driver. Scott Dixon, the IndyCar guy, is one of the extra drivers today for the Ford team. Simone Pagenaud, who just won the IndyCar title, is one of them. Sebastian Bourdais, another IndyCar guy. Then a lot of drivers from Europe there have come over for the finale. Of course, this is, like I said, the last race of the year. There's four classes, and all four classes come down to the day for the season championship. And in the fastest class prototype, first and second place is only 1 point apart after 11 races. So that'll be pretty exciting today.
Yeah. All right, well, hang tight. We'll talk a little bit more about the world of motorsports with my friend Stephen Cole Smith, racer.com, and all the magazines, the buff books out there. But things are changing. The dot-coms seem to be overtaking the printed, you know, the printed stuff out there on newspapers and magazines. But anyway, you're listening to radio, the oldest form of social media. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. For fast, powerful, and portable ratcheting without a power cord or air hose, pick up the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt Max Access Auto Ratchet. The ratchet head delivers up to 420 inch-pounds of torque at 225 RPMs, enough power to turn just about any stubborn fastener quickly. The pass-through design eliminates the need for deep sockets and lets you tighten and loosen long bolts fast, even in tighter workspaces. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you by Craftsman, made to make. Craftsman Tools. It is the 25th anniversary of the Craftsman Club. Don't forget you can join the club. There's almost 20 million people, and they're going to be giving away a Chevy pickup this month, October. I think it's October 1st. I don't even know what day it is. Yeah, it is October 1st. Saturday morning, if you're listening live, we appreciate you listening live. Stephen Cole Smith is on the line with me. He is from racer.com and all the other great places you want to read about cars and motorsports. Let's see. The chase, the NASCAR chase. What's going on with that, Steve?
Well, this is the, you know, the chase is basically in, I believe, four segments. And this is the end of the first segment, meaning that there are 16 chase drivers. And the bottom four after today's race, after this weekend's race at Dover, get booted out. And those are Austin Dillon, Jamie McMurray, Tony Stewart, and Chris Buescher. One of those four guys pretty much needs to win at the race in Dover, or they will be out of the chase. And I don't really see any of those four guys winning, so those four guys are probably going to be eliminated after the race.
Hey, you know, talking about Tony Stewart, isn't he done? I thought he was done.
Yeah, he's done after this year, but he kind of lucked into a win, and if you luck into a win, you're in the first round of the chase. So same thing with Chris Buescher. You know, he's the kid who happened to be leading when it started raining at one of the races, so he got a win, but nobody expected him to go any further, and he has, and he's 16th out of the 16 drivers. So, you know, it's going to be tough for some of those guys. I don't expect Tony Stewart even thought he would make it this far. But with his final season, I expect him to, you know, he's just counting the days until he gets out of NASCAR. The guy is so ready to leave and get onto his world of dirt track racing that he's just, like I said, he's just counting the days until he gets out of NASCAR.
It just seems like he's just so ready to be done with it all. It seems like when you look at him and when you hear him talk, it's just like he's just tired of the intrigue or something. Do you know? You know what's? It's like I'll give you an example. I met AJ Foyt one time, and I've met him a couple times, but he just seems like I don't know. I mean, he seems like a really nice guy to me, of course, but it just seemed like he was kind of bitter towards. Racing, but he's still doing it, you know? That's like Tony.
Yeah, I don't know what AJ would do if it wasn't for racing, but, you know, he's still involved, but he himself isn't involved that much. And I think some of the bitterness is the fact that things have changed so much. AJ had never liked to test, and he didn't because he was good enough to where he could hop into a car and go out there and win, and NASCAR and win, and the IndyCar, and and win on the dirt tracks. Well, you know, things are so much more technical now. You've got to test. You've got to be exactly right before you get on the track. It, talent really doesn't – talent can't overcome a bad car like it used to be able to. And guys like AJ, you know, they really relied on the days when they were so good you could just drop them in a car and they could run up front. And that's not the case anymore. And I think those guys miss the old days, and Tony Stewart's going back to the old days, which is what dirt track racing is, which is what sprint cars and modifies and late models and all the things that Tony likes to do. So I expect him to be a lot happier guy next year than he is this year.
It's very interesting to hear you talk like that because, you know, you're right. And people, I think, forget about that, that racing has changed so much. And you know, it used to be that the tools in the pocket of the guy that was the mechanic and, you know, was over there was a screwdriver and a, you know, I mean, whatever he needed to tune the carburetor and do stuff like that. And today it's a laptop and it's a whole team of people that are everything from, you know, tech geeks to the guy that does, you know, have a screwdriver, but his screwdriver is not near as useful as it used to be. Am I right?
You're exactly right. You know, a guy like AJ doesn't really want to take the advice of a 22-year-old guy who, you know, is trying to teach him how to do some of the other stuff he used to be able to do.
That's right. All right, hang tight. We'll take a little break. I want to ask you a little bit about Robbie Gordon and the horrific kind of double death of his parents and what you know about that on that side. You know, the whole hobby is kind of feeling sick and sad about what went on there. You're listening to The Drive. Stephen Cole Smith and I will be right back here on The Drive. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone tires. One of my favorite songs from ZZ Top. I don't know why. I guess I like all his songs. Not all, but a lot of them. I play them on the show. What'd you say, Al? Al's talking to me. Yeah, I guess that's right. He says Al. Al said, Al's like Mr. Snerdly for Rush Limbaugh. You guys probably can't hear him, but I can. He says he's my buddy, Billy Gibbons. I did a show with him for a while. But my other buddy who's on the show right now, Stephen Cole Smith from Racer.com. Steve, the Robbie Gordon tragedy, I mean, it's not really his tragedy, but it is because, you know, he's the one that's still every day waking up without his parents. Maybe you could shine a light on what happened.
You know, we don't really know, Alan. The story that we got when the race that weekend was at Circuit of the Americas, and that's when it started to break, and that's when a lot of us started to hear rumors. And I did something for thedrive.com. It's another website that we really probably has nothing to do with you guys. It looked like, you know, the autopsy said that he strangled his wife, Robbie's stepmother, and then shot himself with a rifle. But the original things that we were hearing were more complicated than that, that there looked like there might have been some kind of mutual combat, that there was a butcher knife found next to one of the bodies. And the original story that I heard was that she attacked him, and he ended up killing her and then killing himself out of remorse. And we don't know what happened. And Robbie Gordon said that on the scene that we would all know when he knows, but I'm not sure he knows yet. But the original story basically sounded like Robbie Stantz strangled his wife and then shot himself, and, you know, pretty straightforward and simple. But I'm not sure it's as simple as that, and I'm not sure we're ever going to know for sure, because maybe Robbie doesn't want it known once all the investigations go out. But the 9/11 call that came out, they released it, I think, 2 or 3 days ago, and said that, you know, the person that walked in said it looked like murder-suicide, which it certainly was, but the details beyond that, we're really not sure of.
Wow, it's so heavy. And sadly, there are so many people literally on the edge of that in real life at all times. It's amazing the fine line between, you know, sanity and insanity. And rage can get the best of us. I remember when I was a kid, probably, you know, 16 or so, there was a story about two brothers that killed themselves. They killed each other. One stabbed him, and the other one got a gun and killed him. And then the stab wound, you know, took him, before too long. So they literally killed each other over a chicken leg. The fight was over a fried chicken leg. And the one brother took the chicken leg, and the other brother said, "I wanted the chicken leg," and all that was left was chicken breast. I mean, it's like, really? Seriously? You killed each other over food? But, I mean, you know, we're so many of us are on the edge of you know, going postal, as they used to call it.
Right.
Kind of a mean thing for all the great post people out there. But, you know, it's like wild. And so now, in the aftermath, you know, just for you and I for a moment, what does Robbie Gordon do now? How does he move on with his life with this hanging on him? I mean, the joy is sucked out of him, you know?
Yeah, he moved on pretty quickly. You know, his business now is the SST, the Super Series Truck Racing, I think. But, you know, they set up a little course on a lot of the courses, like an IndyCar race. They'll bring it out, and he brings maybe 10 off-road trucks, sets up a little track with some steel jumps where they actually jump over, you know, quite high as part of the race. And that weekend that his parents were killed, he actually went ahead and held the race in California. So, you know, I think he thought that's what his dad would want him to do. And his dad, Baja Bob Gordon, did a lot of off-road racing himself. He taught Robbie everything he knew about motorsports. So I think, you know, they say that's what they would have wanted me to do, is go ahead with the show. And that's what Robbie did. And that was pretty much the last we've heard of Robbie. I think he's still got another race or two, maybe in Australia for the SST series. But I guess Robbie, you know, that's what he does, is race. He doesn't know anything else. So the fact that he did it on the weekend of his parents' death, I think, is a lot of people might be freaked out, but I kind of understand it, that that's, you know, what you do on a daily basis. And that's, you know, that's how you take your mind off everything, is just go ahead and be as normal as you possibly can. And for Robbie Gordon, being normal is racing.
Well, I guess, you know, just like radio and television, racing, all these types of things are technically show business. And in show business, the show must go on. And like you said, it is all he knows. Stephen Cole Smith, you just had a birthday. I just wanted to say a happy birthday to you on the radio here. I love you. You're a good man, you know. Enjoy having you on the show.
You're one of my favorite guys, Alan. I appreciate it.
No, I know you say that to me every time I
even
see
you. Whether you're in heels or not doesn't matter to me.
You say that to everybody, too.
I do. Yeah, I actually do.
You're a good guy. Racer.com, and anytime you see a great article, if you just got done reading it about motorsports, look down and see. It's probably one that you'll smile and go, "Hey, that's that Stephen Cole Smith I heard on the radio." Steve, thank you, my friend. Have a safe trip out there and have fun watching the race. Be good.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Ed Justice Jr. It is The Drive. Stay with us.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And we appreciate their sponsorship. Longtime sponsor. Ed Justice Jr., the man that has all the scoopage on what goes on in the world of motorsports, is on the line right now. He used to host Road and Track's radio show for Road and Track magazine and won a pretty good size award there from the Motor Press Guild. And I'm very jealous of that, and that's why I took him off the air and haven't had him on since, because he showed me up. That's how it works, Ed.
Was that you that said, ooh, 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 ooh?
You know, actually, you had no idea that I was able to do this, did you? Hang on, let's get it
again.
Hold it. You're talking about... You're talking
grilling.
About that right there, yeah. That's me right
there.
The So first of all, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing great. I'm out here in the northern part of Georgia at Road Atlanta, and it's absolutely just a gorgeous day out here. A little bit of a nip, all nip in the air, but clear. 180 degrees difference from last year where we were in muddy red clay parking lots trying to slide our cars out after the race, and it rained like so much you couldn't believe it. It was like Noah was going to be entering a car in the race, and they ended up calling the race short. And
wow.
It was just a deluge last year. But it's like I say, it's 180 degrees difference this year. And,
that's pretty hot, though, Ed. I don't know how people can survive in 180 degrees. That's pretty hot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's
yeah,
really hot.
That's right. So, first of all, Ed,
if you aren't familiar with the red clay, you know, which is where the term redneck comes from, if you aren't familiar with the red clay of northern Georgia, boy, I tell you, it gets all over everything when you get water involved, and it stains stuff, and it's like a pigmentation for painting.
Well, wait a minute. I thought the term redneck came because the farmers, if they didn't wear their little do-rag or whatever they call it, the little, what do they call that, Al? I know he's listening. There's a little thing
bandana.
You wear around your... bandana. See, I knew he'd come up with the right word. Then their neck would get all sunburned and red. I thought that was a redneck.
I don't know. Google it.
Okay, we're going to Google it. Hold on. Anyway, let me change the subject on you for a minute, because you weren't on when Stephen Cole Smith was just on. He said he saw you and you guys talked for a long time. But the last thing we talked about here on the show a few minutes ago was Robbie Gordon and the murder, homicide, whatever the heck happened there at his parents' house. So sad. But you're pretty close to the... stuff like this, and especially it happened in Southern California. So do you know any more on that, by the way?
Well, you know, it's no. I've heard a lot of rumors, none that I would repeat, because that's all they are is rumors. And it's a terrible thing. I mean, it's just a terrible thing. You know, my oldest daughter, Courtney, knew Bob Gordon pretty well. She went to college with one of Robbie's sisters, Becky, and who's Ryan Hunter Ray's wife. And she spent time, you know, with Bob Gordon's first wife, Marlene, and knew this wife. You know, it really hit her hard, very, very hard. It really, really hurt her. You know, she said, you know, to her, Bob Gordon was always such a sweet man and all that. And, you know, these deals, you just don't know what happens. And, you know, unfortunately, we'll probably see it on Dateline or 2020 come about 6 months to a year.
Right.
Because it clearly has all the markers of a made-for-TV story. I mean, you know, they're glamour. You know, he's nicknamed Baja Bob. And, I mean... You know, not a lot of people race at Baja, but not a lot of them had the nickname Baja Bob. I mean,
So,
I mean, they're involved in horse racing, and it's funny, you know, I knew Bob Gordon. I wouldn't call him one of my best friends for sure, but I definitely was around him a lot in off-road racing, and one of the guys that was a friend of mine who we sponsored, Frank Vessels, who was known as Scoop Vessels. We won Baja with Scoop, and he and Bob Gordon started in off-road racing together because Scoop Vessels' family owned the Los Alamitos horse racing track, and Bob Gordon had the exclusive feed and hay contract for the track, and so that's how they sort of met.
Mm. It's just one of those stories like, who was it? You know some another family that was the person got murdered. I can't think of it, and there's a daughter. I don't know why the name is not popping up in my mind.
Well, are you talking about Mickey Thompson? Or
Mickey Thompson. Yeah, I was going to say Dick Zepek, but I knew that was wrong. But, yeah, that's another one of those, like you said, famous things that whether it ever came to an end and there was a real, the honest to God, what happened. And today with the forensics and all that they have, they will figure out what happened. It'll take some time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Mickey Thompson, there was a trial, and Michael Goodwin was convicted. It took 18 years to bring that thing to full justice. But, you know, if you live long enough, we all end up finding out the story if you're around when it finally comes out. But, you know, it's just so funny. You know, you sit there and you think, let's go back, like, say, just 5 years. And Scoop Vessels was still alive. He died in a plane crash up in the Northwest, he and another fellow in a plane. But 5 years ago, you could have sat at a table, you know, with Scoop and Bob Gordon and, you know, having a good time. And looking 5 years down the road, would you ever think that, number one of them would die in a plane crash, which is, you know, not a normal death, but more normal. And then that, you know, Bob Gordon would be involved in what has been termed a murder-suicide. It just blows your mind. I mean, it's just... You just think, wow, you just never know. You never know what the future holds.
Yeah, it's a true story. What I said to Steve was just how many people are right on the edge of, sadly, and I shouldn't even have said it like that, but right on the edge of doing that at any given time. You know, just the insanity that goes on behind closed doors in households of screaming and yelling and fighting and punching and kicking and almost stabbing and almost shooting. And it's like, holy crap, man. We are such a society of, you know, pent up, angry, frustrated human beings that, you know what, if you don't seek help, whether it be from your church or a good friend. Listen, you have been that good friend for me for these last, I don't know what, 20 years or better. And you have been like a mentor to me. And I know that I helped you that time I bailed you out, brother. And we don't want to talk about it on the air.
I've seen you on the brink a few times.
True story.
Yeah.
True story.
Remember that night on the bridge when you were hanging off the side?
True. You know why? A dollar bill blew off the edge. That was all I was trying to do, is get my dollar back.
Yeah. No, but you know, Robbie Gordon did make a statement to the police that day after, I mean, to the press, the media, and he made a statement that the truth will come out, which, boy, it sure creates a lot of questions, but doesn't give you an answer at that point. And so what is the truth? And, you know, it's everybody wonders. And it isn't so much of we want to know the dirt or whatever. It's just such a stun to people that people, I think, are trying to wrap their heads around what would cause this, because... You know, it has been reported that she was strangled. And so, you know, that's a very personal thing. And, you know, there sounds like there was a gun involved with him. And so, you know, it just, it leaves.
Yeah.
And then look, I will absolutely say what I've thought about the most since then is all the family members. Because... it's just not a pretty thing for them. to be left to deal with this. I mean, you know, I had another guy that I knew that had gotten a terminal health diagnosis, and one day he went down to his little shop and shot himself. And you know, it, what that did to the family, the after effects was just terrible.
Yeah,
it was just terrible.
I had a customer of mine one time complain about a detail shop that did a really bad detail on their car. And they called me and they said, you know, I'm going down there and I'm going to chew that guy a new, yeah, I'm going to this, that, and the other. And about, I don't know, a few hours later, I saw the person again. I go, well, what happened? I go, oh, the guy just committed suicide in his shop. And I go, because of you? And I go, no, it happened before, but... Listen, you never know what people are going through in their lives. We'll take a break.
No, you're right.
Change the subject and bring it back to something fun. Cars. And these things unfortunately happen in life. But anyway, it is The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, Choice of Champions. We'll be right back.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. Thanks for hanging with us. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. They are domestic, but not domesticated. Dodge. I drive a Viper, actually, ACR. Matter of fact, the let's see, Dodge Viper, I believe, is racing this weekend. I think I saw something on Facebook. The Viper Exchange is the guy that drives for Dodge in the ACR out there. Ed, are you keeping an eye on who's racing out there where you are this weekend? Ed Justice Jr., everybody.
Sure. And the Viper did win the pole in the GT Daytona class with Ben Keating, which is the fellow I think you were trying to think of.
Yes.
Who owns the Viper Exchange. And this will be the last race for the Viper in competitive motorsports.
Well, he better kick butt.
Well, you know what? It's been a tough car. It's hard to believe the Viper's been around 25 years. And it's even harder to believe that it's not going to be made anymore. But, you know, the Viper is iconically tied to that V10 motor. And, you know, under the legislation of the United States federal government and other world governments, V10 is just not really what they consider to be part of the future. So, therefore, the car is toast.
Well, you know what? That is exactly why I bought one, because I think that it's like investing in real estate. You always buy the worst house on the best street, fix it up, and then, you know, that's a great investment. Or you buy a car in that same kind of vein, with the car that you think is going to be the perhaps the least sold, whether it be because price or because there's only so many people that can buy this kind of car, because it's definitely takes a particular kind of buyer, like Ferraris and like a Koenigsegg or any of those kind of super exotic type machines. This, to me, I love the fact that it was American muscle. I love the fact that it had a big fat V10 in it, which, by the way, I must tell you, now that I've owned it for, I don't know, what's it been, 9 months, and driven it. What a violent machine. No wonder they should outlaw this car. It's so, but I'm joking, but I'm not, because this is the most wild thing I've ever experienced in my life. And so if that's what you want, normally you got to spend $1 million to get something this wild and crazy. So the fact is that, like you said, because the world is changing, and you look at the Ford with their new GT, will have a twin turbo V6. It's like, wait a minute, I got 10 cylinders, you got 6, yet we're talking about maybe your car, even with only 6 cylinders, has more horsepower, you know, and the engine is a whole lot lighter and more efficient in every way, shape, and form. So I get it, but I love the fact that my investment in this car like the Ford GT for my friend Carl Brower at KBB. What'd he pay? $130,000. The car's worth probably $275,000 at this point. So I think I bought it as an investment as much as a big boy's toy, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you know, what's surprising to me, really, is when it comes to this regulation and the changes happening in the car industry, is how unaware the general public, and even some people that I would consider to be, should be a little bit more astute than to just say Joe average public on this.
Ed, hold on a sec. We got to take a break.
Okay.
We got to take a break. Daggone it, the hard brakes are going to run me over. Time to pay some bills. Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand. We will be back with more of Ed Justice Jr. from Justice Brothers right after this.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, the information resource for the DIY enthusiast, and also the worldwide leader in automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. HAYNES.com, Haynes. On the line with me is my friend Ed Justice Jr. from Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. He is a longtime friend and many ways mentor. He's out at a racetrack somewhere, as he loves doing that, working with the racers. And sorry I cut you off there, Ed. We were talking about, you know, V10 versus V6 and how things are going. And I'm the proud owner of a big fat V10 truck engine underneath the hood of a sleek looking Viper ACR. I love that.
Yeah, well, what I was saying was just how unaware the general public is of what the changes that are being placed on the auto manufacturers around the world. And part of that being, yesterday I made a comment to some of the guys here that are very astute automotive people that I said, you know, it won't be a shocker someday if the Porsche 911 has a four-cylinder motor again. Because it did have a four-cylinder motor back when in 67, for an example, they had the 912, which was the 911 with a four-cylinder motor. And they go, you really think that? And I go, I don't only think it, I know that it's almost absolute. And I said, why do you think they ran the 919 that won Le Mans this year? Why do they run that car with a four-cylinder motor? And it's a hybrid, of course, with electric assist. But they're getting you ready, showing you that look at the performance you can get out of a four-cylinder. And, you know, they're going to have all this data so that by the time that if and when they do put it on the road, that you're going to say, well, yeah, look at all the races this thing won. Look how great it is, even though, you know, maybe another motor was better. And, look, I get the small motor deal. I mean, it through technology today, you know, like I have that Ford Expedition with an EcoBoost in it, twin turbo V6. It's phenomenal. It's far better torque, far better throttle response than the V8.
And
it's really
better fuel economy,
true.
Right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And that's the big reason why. But they're able to give you the other stuff, too. But the thing that's surprising, again, to me is the public doesn't understand, you know, this is why cars don't crash quite as well, because they're being made lighter and the metal, you know, I mean, they're not as a big a hulk anymore. You see cars sometimes in crashes and they're just torn to heck. You can't even tell what brand it was.
Well, you know what? And no matter what, speed kills, as they say. And, you know, you're right in many respects, but with today's technology, because of the ability for the car to brake itself and, you know, kind of the car is watching the road in front of you, as lane departure warning systems and airbags everywhere and anti-lock brakes, all these technologies, you know, we're not seeing as many of these horrific crashes as we used to. And my feeling is as this continues to evolve, we're going to see less and less and less, because, you know, these things you don't want to see. And you're right. The car has to get lighter and lighter and lighter in order to get the economy, the fuel economy that they're mandating on them. The only way they can do that is by, you know, lightweighting the vehicle in all things, you know, aluminum and all that. And listen, aluminum's great. You look at the Ford F-150, it's strong as can be. But there's still so many learnings that are going to happen along that path, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, actually Chevrolet right now is taking some cheap shots at Ford. And the people in the industry really feel that, because there is going to be a point in time when Chevrolet's pickup truck is going to have to be made out of aluminum, too. But they're trying to make hay with the steel body truck right now against Ford while they can. And, you know, hey, that's competition.
By the way, talking about cheap shots and, you know, not to be political, but sadly, Trump has been taking shots at Ford Motor Company, and he's mistaken. He doesn't understand. And I'll tell you where it all happened real quick. When Ford said we're moving our focus to Mexico, and the word focus is a car, not the fact that they're focusing on Mexico. And I believe that when they said they were moving the focus to Mexico, he thought they're going to move out of Detroit. And the fact is they're not. They're a global company. So unfortunately, he didn't do his homework on that one, sadly. Right.
Well, you know, and that why they're moving to Mexico definitely deserves some closer examination. And it's not good for the people who used to build the Focus in the U.S.
No, I mean, I know, they're a global company, and I get it. If listen, you're a global company too. You understand sometimes you got to manufacture in the area. Yeah. Speaking of that, we're out of time. Ed Justice Jr.
All right.
Check him out. Ed Justice, JusticeBrothers.com. You can check him out on the web. Love you, man. Take care. Be safe out there. Have fun at the race.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Great talking with you this morning.
All right, Ed. You be good. Ed's a good guy, and his company is phenomenal. They're moving in on, I think, 80 years now. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive. We've got another hour. Dave Kindig from Bitchin' Rides on next. We'll be right back. The Covercraft products you know and trust are now available directly to you at Covercraft.com. You'll find custom car covers manufactured with high-performance fabrics, Carhartt seat covers in new Realtree camo patterns, dash mat dashboard covers, Colgan custom bras, specialty protection products from K9 Covers, and a whole bunch more. Be sure to use the code DRIVE at checkout to receive free shipping in the continental U.S. Get protection for whatever you drive at Covercraft.com.
Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television, and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hour two. We just got done talking about motorsports and what have you. And this hour, we turn the page to a new topic. Do you guys watch Velocity Channel, part of the Discovery Networks? If you do, that means you're a true blue car guy or gal, and you've probably seen the most popular of the car shows on Velocity Network. It is called Bitchin' Rides with Dave Kindig. It's the third season, and it all begins over on Tuesday, October 11th. Bitchin' Rides. Now, to help me talk a little bit about this is a buddy of mine named Boots, Dan Longinette. He goes by Boots. He is the host of Street Rod and Custom Radio, and he has his own funky radio show. I'm not going to even give him any credit for.
Nice.
Because I'm only going to promote the show that you do with us.
That's not a problem. They can Google me.
No, auto smarts. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
So, but he has actually bought products from Dave Kindig, and I don't know whether you guys know each other, but Dave Kindig is on the phone. Dave, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Boots. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
How you
good
doing,
morning.
Dave? I'm doing fantastic. I'm out here in Fort Worth, Texas at the Good Guys Show. I've been on a road tour for a week, so I couldn't be happier.
So now let me ask you something, Dave. How is all this fame, and we'll ask about the fortune, but how is all this fame doing for you? Because it changes your life, doesn't it? It's your third season. Velocity is saying, let's see here, that it is the most popular series on Velocity Network. That's big, man.
You know, it's great to find out you don't suck, I guess. And, you know, we're just having a lot of fun. You know, getting noticed pretty much everywhere we go. You know, there's great people, and car people are always what I've always said have been the best people. So it's not bad, you know. It's a little hard to walk into the supermarket next to my house anymore, but without shaking the hand of the glove on the butcher.
Yep. Well, you know that you and Boots kind of share a wild and crazy goatee. You guys wear these unmistakable goatees, right?
We don't have pretty hair like you.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you. But yeah, so you know, you're not hard to find. Like if I imagine Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, I play a lot of his music. You know, it's like when you have this certain look, like Richard Rollins, who's I'm sure a buddy of yours from Fast and Loud. What is it with the goatees? I guess I need to grow one.
You know, it's funny. It's I look at this one on my face, and my wife has never allowed me to even think about cutting it off. She says, I wouldn't recognize it if you didn't have it. I've had it for so long. And, you know, it's funny, a little thing about Billy Gibbons. I grew up, you know, with a fascination for hot cars and hot women and, of course, cool music, and there's nothing better than ZZ Top. And everything kind of came full circle this year. It was pretty cool. Jimmy Shine and Billy were doing autographs down in the Pomona's Grand National and heading over to a couple weeks later to Sacramento. And it was almost like we were doing tag team. They were Saturday, and I flew in, and I was going to do Sunday autographs. And so there we were. They get to the airport. I'm walking out, and I said, hey, Jimmy, it looks like we're doing tag team, huh? And he says, yeah. And we, you know, said hi. And I see Billy Gibbs, and I'm a huge fan of his, never met him. And I see him leave his luggage at the limo, and he runs over, and he says, man, I'm a huge fan. Can I get a picture with you? I said, you got it, kidding. You know, and the first thing I did is I called my cousin Brad. You know, we grew up being car guys together, and I said, you wouldn't believe who just wanted a picture with me. And he's like,
all right, well,
hold tight.
We're going to play a little ZZ Top right here, Sharp Dressed
Nice.
Man. This is The Drive. Dave Kindig is on the line, star of Velocity Network's Bitchin' Rides, also my buddy Boots from Street Rod and Custom Radio. We'll be right back and talk more. Stay with us.
Introducing the Craftsman Bolt-On Reciprocating Saw. This saw attachment comes with a 6-inch general-purpose blade and delivers enough power to cut through a variety of materials like drywall, PVC, and even small tree branches. The reciprocating saw attachment transforms the bolt-on base into a portable and versatile cutting beast. Tool-free blade changes make switching out accessory blades easier than ever. Construct your Craftsman Bolt-On system today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and our show brought to you in part by Covercraft. And they're one of our great sponsors. They make car covers, boat covers, ATV covers. They also make seat covers. They make floor mats. They make a lot of great stuff. Covercraft, covercraft.com. We do a monthly car cover giveaway. I am Alan Taylor. On the line with me is my pal, Boots. They call him Boots. Dan Longinette. He is the host of Street Rod and Custom Radio, a podcast you can find at Street Rod and Custom Radio. Also, Dave Kindig. He is the star of Velocity Network's Bitchin' Rides, owner of Kindigit Design. And they design and build some of the most unbelievable creative things you've ever seen in your life. And even, you know, knowing that Dan is on the line and Dan has a 57 Studebaker or something. I don't know what he's got.
Studebaker, Bob.
Whatever it is.
Not 57 Chevy. I'm not Fozzie Bear.
He's got a car that people have offered him six figures for, I think, and he just turns them down, and he's like, nope, not gonna. I mean, guys that have these cars, and gals too, they love on these things. I mean, seriously, love on them. And so when I told him, Dave, I said, I'm going to have Dave Kindig on, he goes, oh, I've got his door handles. And I'm like, well, give them back to him then. What does he mean he's got your door handles? So you guys are more than just, you know, car builders. You guys also produce products for folks, right?
Yeah. You know, actually, one of the first things that I ever patented was actually these flush mount door handles. We built the original prototypes back in 2006 for a 56 Chevy, and they just fit so good. Before we were even finished with the car, I was like, maybe this is the one thing that maybe
we go ahead and try and get a patent on, which we did. And they've wow. sold like hotcakes. They're awesome. Three different styles available, paintable and chrome. And, you know, we fit them for pretty much any application, which is really cool. So you can get creative with it and make the car personalized. And, you know, they're awesome because you're not shaving the door handle and locking yourself out of the car. You still have a functional door handle, but it still has that classic look, and, but it's flush. So best of both worlds.
I want to give Boots a chance to ask a question. Yeah. He's a talk show host, too, and I usually don't let him say very much because you got to be careful to let the monkey out of the cage, you know, but go ahead.
Well, I'll say this. I teamed up with him a few years ago on my other show that you briefly touched on, and we traded some advertising for the door handles. And I tell you what, being in the Midwest where I'm located, we don't have the cool stuff like you West Coast people west of the Mississippi. So I was the first one around the area that I knew of to have those door handles, and it just put the finishing touches on my 5.7 because still people come up to me and I don't mind people touching my car. The difference between me and most show car people is my car is there, number one, to promote me. Number two, I want them to appreciate the car. I'm proud of the car and I've got a lot of time, but I want to say it was the easiest custom part I put on the car. I mean, I made an all steel hood, cowl induction hood, an original four door parts car I had that I put on my two door, but the door handles, when I first opened it up, I said, it can't be this easy. And it was that easy. So I can't thank you enough. And I'm telling you what, I'm a welder, so it's easy. I mean, if you're not a welder, it's not easy. And if you're not a fabricator, and you're even a shade tree mechanic and knows how to weld, can put those handles in. And I tell you what, today my car will be on display. And I guarantee those door handles, once people see them, it gets more attention than the 2 months of flame job I put on the car.
So, well, so Dave, what we were shooting for.
Let's talk about the most challenging car customization transformation that you've undertaken on Bitchin' Rides on Velocity.
Oh, that would, well, is I guess they're all really a challenge in their own way. I think one of the bigger challenges had to have been the Copper Caddy. I mean, that car, we moved a lot of stuff around. Originally chopped by Gene Winfield as a training vehicle, showing people how to chop the top of the old school, where they'd sink the whole roof down and the whole back window down underneath the trunk line and then shoot a panel over the top of it. And, of course, technology back then, and, of course, even today, you can't cut a tempered piece of glass. But, you know, with modern technology, Carmen over at A&M Hot Rod Glass does those fantastic acrylic glass you know, windshields and all that stuff. It's all out of acrylic with a silica overlay. So as long as you can get a common shape of that car, the limits are, you know, it's limitless, really, to be able to put a piece of glass in something, and there's no deviation in it. It's actually clearer than glass.
So, let me ask you a question about, you know, television, yeah. building a car for television. And, Boots, mute your phone for a second. You must be in a high-noise environment in his car driving to the car show. But so now you went from being a car customizer, which you still are, to a car customizer that now has to do this on television. Has it added to the degree of difficulty, Dave?
I think that's where a lot of people maybe don't quite understand exactly what the design of Bitchin' Rides is about. They're actually there to record what I would be doing if we weren't on television. We never changed anything that we were doing, and I think that's what's so real. If you've ever seen one of our cars in real life, you know, sometimes, and not to bag on anybody, but sometimes TV-built cars are kind of gummy, and you kind of get an idea, well, they must have really rushed this. We build a car, it takes 9 months, 11 months, 14 months in some cases, and I'm building them for the customer, not for television. They just happen to be capturing it. So that's the big difference. You know, we're competing in the top of our game with these cars that you see built on TV.
Hmm. How did you get into this in the first place? I'm just curious. A lot of people don't maybe know, so I'd love to have the 1 minute answer on that, by the way, because a commercial break's coming up.
I was very passionate about cars. Grew up not having a dad around and wanted to build stuff, so I was building Legos and loved Hot Wheels, loved drawing cars, got into plastic models, later on got into Volkswagens. It was just something I was very much passionate about, self-taught. And would watch other people, how they were metal shaping, learned how to weld by watching, graphics by watching, and pretty soon people wanted me to work on their cars. So 17 years later, it kind of snowballed.
Hold on. Yeah, 17 years later at Snowball. I asked the guy for the one-minute answer. He starts out with, I started out with Legos. I didn't want to go that far back.
We'll take a long-term, right? But boom, here we are 17 years later.
All right, hang tight. We'll talk to you some more on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Drive with Dave Kindig here from Bitchin' Rides on Velocity. We'll be back. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Listening to The Drive, our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. And I do drive a Dodge Viper ACR. Trivia question, what is ACR? A lot of people don't know. It stands for American Club Racer. Dan Boots Longinette is on the line. His nickname is Boots. He's the host of Street Rod and Custom Radio and Auto Smarts in his local area around, I don't know, where does he live?
Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm giving you a hard time.
Good guys capital, baby. We're the largest good guys show, so I think.
I know. I love giving you crap. Dave Kindig is on the line. Star of Velocity Channel's Bitchin' Rides. And he does make some bitchin' rides. And he's a good guy. And I want to tell you guys, when I get to meet these folks year after year after year, and you find out that they are the real deal, Dave is one of the guys that is the real deal. And, Dave, I'm glad to say that every time I met with you, you seem to be just the same guy. You have not allowed this fame and fortune to go to your head, so thank you for that. I'm going to throw it back over to Dan Boots to go for the first question here in this segment.
Oh, okay, so here's the deal. You know, we talk about these TV shows. I got to ask you, you know, Alan, you've done wonders for my career, and I can't thank you enough, but to ask Dave, how did it happen? I mean, I know you've got talent. I know you got a ton of personality. But when they found you, were you nervous at first, or did you just roll with it? Because I'm at the point where I'm just rolling with things.
No, I've always just kind of rolled with it. And actually, a lot of people that were familiar with Kindigit Design knew that I'd been a guest on other shows. You know, Dennis Gage had me on, and very early on, actually, one of my first times ever national television. It was pretty cool. We loved the Caballo Rosa, the 37 Chevy that we'd built. So I interviewed with him, and we became good friends. And Hot Rod Television, I was a guest on that a couple of times, guest on SEMA coverage, Car Crazy. But, you know, what actually happened is when we had the opportunity to build the GM Futureliner, stood out to Velocity Channel. They sent down a company out of Park City. They did a sizzle reel. They loved the layout of the show or the shop. And the way that my guys and I work together, because we've worked together for so long, we're good friends outside of work. And the rest is history. They just really loved how we all bounced off each other, the layout of the shop, the quality of the work, and the fact that we were a high-end hot rod shop, but we were going to be doing a huge concourse restoration of a GM Futureliner, which really didn't kind of fit. So it was interesting. And, yeah, it's just been a great experience ever since. You know, the production company's awesome with us. They work around us. They don't interrupt. It works out really well.
Now, I got a question for you there. Kids, wife, kid, you talked about your wife. Talk about, you know, where are you at with all that?
Oh, I've got a lovely wife. And as a matter of fact, I'm on my, this is a 9-day tour. This is the longest my wife, Charity, and I have been apart for 26 years. So I can't wait to get back tomorrow. But wow. I've got a beautiful wife, Charity, and I've got my daughter. She's 20 years old, works for me full time. For the last 2 years, and then I've got a 17-year-old son, which has no interest whatsoever in cars. He's a video game kid. I'm going to beat up the mailman if I ever catch up with him.
You know what's funny, though? Give him some time, because that'll wear off, and, you know, what you got to do, and I'll tell you what, because I have four kids, and my youngest is 16, and my oldest is 28, and everything in between there. And I have a couple of kids that aren't into cars, but it doesn't matter. They'll find their passion, whether it be photography or like Boots. He loves little fuzzy dogs, little 1 pound and under dogs. Have you ever?
Oh.
You don't talk about that. I'm sorry. But, you know, whatever it is, whether it be animals or, you know, whatever it is. And I always, I felt like, gosh, you know, my kids, you know, not all of them are car guys. And at the end of the day, who cares? You know what I mean? As long as they're doing good
cool
in life, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, what's
you
next?
Know, as long as he's healthy and happy, it really doesn't matter. I want him to take the reins and just run with it just like I did. I had nobody else in my family that was into cars. I'm the odd man out.
There you go. So what's next for Season 3, by the way? I know you guys are starting October 11th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on the Velocity Channel. Season 3, what's in store?
Yeah, so on the 11th at 9 Eastern and 10 Eastern, there's a two-part special that kicks off Season 3. It is an over-the-top build. A good friend of ours, Don and Jackie Height, we built a 52 Pontiac for him, and it is an absolute gorgeous car. Lots of power, very classy. That car will be in style for the next 50 years plus.
Oh, that's nice.
It's going to be a great, great two-part episode, and there's a lot of really cool stuff. You know, I think every season just gets that much better. Bigger builds, greater clients, more comfort with everybody that's filming and in the shop. Season 3 is going to make Season 2 look like you were watching Romper Room.
So our show brought to you by Craftsman. Did you start out life with Craftsman tools? Just curious.
I did, as a matter of fact. I still have them. I still use Craftsman,
awesome.
As a matter of fact.
That's great. Well, listen, everybody. Watch Dave Kindig, Velocity Channel. It is Bitchin' Rides, and you can check him out if you want to get something built. You may just check him out at Kindigit Design. And you can find the show, by the way, velocity.com/TV-shows-bitchin'rides. Dave, you're the best, man. I can't wait to see you. Hopefully we're going to have you back on stage at SEMA coming up in November. Man, we sent you out the invite. Well, people love seeing you talking and kind of this real-time stuff. So really appreciate all that you do for our hobby, my friend. Be good. Stay well.
I had a lot of fun at the SEMA stage last year, and I look forward to doing it again. It's already on my schedule.
Fantastic. That's Dave Kindig, everybody. Coming up next, we're going to talk with, thank you. We're going to talk with Boots on the line and find out he's going to a dog show, I think, specializing in small, fluffy poodles.
Chihuahua.
1 pound and under. Lab dog specialty. We'll take a break. It is The Drive. Stay with us. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider The Source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com. Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. It's now time to talk about lap dogs with Boots Longinet. Dan Boots Longinet.
I'm gonna defend myself. I was at breakfast with Chip Loose this morning, and my buddy has one of the baddest car collections in Columbus Market. He has two Jack Russells too. That's my punt dog, we call it. And Chip can't wait to come over tonight and play with the dogs over the cars. So there you go.
That's funny. Listen, my wife has a lap dog. The dog's name is Charlie. It's so funny when I hear about lap dogs. She actually uses that dog for why they breeded these little dogs. Charlie's a multi-poo. He's a little white poodle dog that's half Maltese and half poodle. Doesn't shed. This is a hypoallergenic dog, okay? Smartest creature you've ever met in your life.
Unbelievable.
We have a little door, a bell hanging on the door that hangs down about 2 or 3 inches from the ground.
Right.
And when the dog needs to go to the bathroom, it goes over and kicks that bell and rings a little bell and basically just sits down and goes, I want to go out and go to the bathroom. I'm telling you what, these are small. But my wife, she sits down on the couch and that dog will jump up and get in her lap. And when it's cold in the wintertime, that's just like a little water bottle. That dog is keeping her warm and, hot water bottle type thing. And I think to myself, you know what? I realize now that they actually did breed these little animals for the kings and queens to have lap dogs to keep them warm way, way back in the Middle Ages or whatever. So I'm good that you happen to be a specialist in lap dogs. That's okay.
I'm and good cats. With that. I like cats, too. So I, you know what? I'm not. I'm 6'1", 250, and you never know, a big teddy bear.
So let me just go ahead and do a proper intro for you. Dan Longinette, he goes by Boots because when he was younger, he always used to wear cowboy boots. His his radio show, I almost called you a television show. His radio show is called Auto Smarts. It's in the Columbus market and a bunch of other markets over there. Mm-hmm. And then he does a podcast with us called Street Rod and Custom Radio. And he's got quite the following in his local area there. He's like a big old star. So if I ever come to your town, you know, you're going to show me around. Everybody's going to go, "Hey, Boots, what's going on?" Oh. But you're a real car guy. Now, you came up through the ranks as a, you know, all the way up through the evils of the new and used car sales world until you were a kind of a general manager at a very young age. And then got smart.
And then I got out of the car business. You know, I survived Desert Storm. And when I say that, Not, I'm a big patriotic guy, too. I don't mean it as I was there, but I was in the car business at a Toyota dealership when that broke out, and that kind of slowed business down. And then 9/11, that horrible tragedy really crushed the car business. And I think the big three made a big mistake by doing 0% financing because it really screwed up the whole car world. I know they were struggling to sell cars. And then this third recession, I had to get out. And I've had this passion for cars. I'm a lot like you and, you know, Dave and Chip. We all have that passion. Thank goodness God gave us talent to talk because I can talk about cars. Now, if you take cars out of my life, I'm a homeless guy. I mean, I'm here to tell you that's all I know and all I want to know. And, you know, I have a wonderful family. Don't even my daughter's amazing. And I'm very fortunate that I have a crew like you do that make me tick. If it wasn't for my right-hand men, I wouldn't be a right-hand man. I wouldn't be able to be where I am. And then I was fortunate enough to team up with Chip Foose through Mac Tools, one of my sponsors on my other show, and he introduced me to you. And that's been a huge this feather in my cap to help me. You know, I don't chase the money. I chase the dream. And that's where I think us car guys make it. You know, like Dave, he just loves doing what he does, and he just happened to have a talent that was noticed, and he's got a great personality to back it. I don't know if I have all that, but I'm hoping they do. They see
yeah,
it,
but
so.
You said something there. I heard that you're a welder. Did you go to school for welding, or you just started welding?
Actually, I was in high school. When I was a freshman in high school, we had a new Miller welder come in, and our shop class teacher, Mr. Reich, which is a dear friend of mine still to this day, I take him to dinner. He's in his mid to late 70s now. I take him to dinner twice a year. I drive 2 hours because he took me under his wing. When I told him I wanted to take the test, he would, then you can learn how to use the welder. Well, I actually pulled it off, and then I taught all the seniors how to weld, all the juniors how to weld. So here's this football captain that was a big jock, and I'm in the shop class all day. Then the local city had me weld up the street cleaners, the backstops, the baseball programs. I mean, I was a self-made certified welder, and I could weld better than the guys that went to school for it. And still to this day, I can build a roll cage with my eyes closed, and I still have people call me up on the roundy cars going, "Hey, will you look at my weld?" So I kind of got that. That's a natural, you know, we can all go to school for it, but you either have it or you don't have it.
You know,
so
what's funny?
I was very lucky to have him.
I was the same way as you. I wanted to weld because to me, if you know how to weld, it's a very interesting thing. You feel like you can make anything. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. These fabricators are, you know, I think they're the backbone of this country. You know, someone made the submarine, someone made the battleship, someone made the fighting plane to keep our country safe.
Yeah, most of those are riveted. But anyway, the point is...
No, I'm just saying, you know, fabricators.
Riveters are important, too. Right. My son, who's 16, he, you know, at 16 years old, became eligible to take a class at the junior college down near our house. And what did he do? He took welding. And, man, he wants to be a certified underwater welder now. And it's like, no, don't do it. You know, I mean, there's so many interesting things to do, but that's actually kind of dangerous, you know. But welding is such an interesting thing. And I remember talking to Jesse James. Remember Monster Garage and Jesse James?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when I was interviewing him, I don't know, it's been a decade or more ago, I said to him, I said, how did you get started? He goes, you know, all I wanted to do in life is what he said. All I wanted to do was be a welder. And it's so interesting about how for guys and gals both, doesn't matter. When you weld something together and you realize that you can be a creator, I think for guys it's hard because we're not, you know, I think we're not, I don't know, designed creatively the way that, you know, that just some people are, and women are in particular, are so creative. You watch them with their crafts and stuff at home, even knitting. But when a guy gets a welder in his hand, or a gal, and they start stitching that weld together, and they realize they can create something. And like you said, a battleship. You know, it doesn't matter. When you can weld, you can create anything. The sky's the limit. And so it empowers. So for those people listening, if you want to teach your kids anything, and I, you know, Dave Kindig from Bitch and Rides was on, and he said, you know, his kid's not a car guy. He's a video game kid. Man,
right.
Put a welder in that kid's hand. Teach him how to weld. Show him. It is the coolest thing when you see molten steel, when you're wearing that mask, that hood over your head, and you're watching that steel melt, and you're watching that bead, and you're stitching that together. It is so mesmerizing. I mean, it's almost like something primordial about, you know, watching fire, when you can just sit in a campfire and watch the fire, and you can just get mesmerized. Same thing with welding. Man, I went off weird on that, didn't I?
I know, it's amazing.
You're like, what are you talking about? Hold on, we'll take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're talking with Boots, Dan LaJeanette. He's the host of Street Rod and Custom Radio. I think he's eating a cheeseburger and he's not paying attention. We'll get back, take a break. Our show brought to you in part with Craftsman. They make welders. They got tools of every kind. You can be a part of that Craftsman Club. Celebrating 25 years of the Craftsman Club. And they're giving away a Chevy truck this month. You want to find out more at Craftsman.com. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals. They are the information resource for the DIY enthusiast and the daggone worldwide leader of automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. Haynes.com. That's right. Boots LaJeanette with us. Dan Boots LaJeanette. He is the host of Street Rod and Custom Radio and Auto Smarts. Come on. Come on.
Go on, bring it home.
Yo!
So we're 80s, baby.
Making me howl.
The good old days.
Dan, tell me about your radio show that you've been doing for years there in Columbus.
Well, years ago, like back to what we were talking about, I was able to hook up with some guys at a local sports station. I was calling local roundies racing and at the local drag strip, and I started a show called Auto Smarts. And I don't, you know, I want to say it's click and clack. It's click and clack with a street rod type custom spin on it. And it just got grip and it just took off. And man, it rocks. And we cover a lot of stuff. You know, you've done shows in the past where you're doing nuts and bolts and how to fix your check engine light and stuff. But ours goes a little deeper in that. Like, why should I use a 6AL MSD box? And why should I tub or not tub my car? Why is Pro Touring cool? So I kind of took that show. Now, I do get a guy calls in and their 2.7 Chrysler's gone bad. What do I do? But, you know, but the new cars are so good that I needed to put that extra niche in it. The big three build wonderful cars, Toyota, Honda. They're all building good cars nowadays. So I had to kind of change it up a little bit. So I cover a lot of drag racing, a lot of NASCAR. And I just say anything with wheels, basically, down the golf carts.
Well, you know, it's funny. The like you said, the cars, nobody makes a bad car anymore. Sure, they've all got some little things that go wrong when you're putting something together as complicated as, You know, I mean, even, you know, I mean, look, the cars today are more complicated than the first NASA rocket ships that went to the moon, right?
So, absolutely.
You know, things are going to happen, and then they have these things called recalls and technical service bulletins, and they send you letters, say, bring your car in, we want to change your this or your that, or, you know, and then they have this other great thing called a warranty, which, right. Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, those are God-saving things. But at the end of the day, there are people out there that do want to work on their own cars. God bless you for having the courage to do that, and the Craftsman tools should be in your shop. And if you have a good Haynes manual, and those are my sponsors. And but it's the truth. If you're going to do this stuff, have a good manual. And the fact that you have the internet available to you guys, everybody, you can now, even Haynes, they have videos, and they tear the cars apart and put them back together again when they make these manuals. So if you want to do it yourself, you can. But God bless you for when you don't want to, because there's the do-it-for-me person, and there's the DIY, do-it-for-myself, or, you know, DIY, do-it-for-yourself. I guess that's what it stands for. Anyway, point is, I actually right now have a Fiat. My wife, she wanted something different after being the soccer mom all those years, and so I bought her a fun little Fiat 500, and it's a Abarth, which is the sport edition. And, you know, that car has not given us any trouble, even though they were known as Fix It Again, Tony, Fiat, you know. That car has not given us any trouble, because nobody makes bad cars anymore, to your point.
No, I mean, they're great cars, and they're so safe. I mean, I am a little afraid of the self-driving, the autonomous cars. That's scaring me. And here's the only reason. There's still a lot of college kids sitting around that can't get girlfriends or making viruses for my computer. So I have a feeling some kid's going to get on there and play around, and I don't need to deal with that. And I think one thing I stress on all the shows that I do, I want to go back to a re-educating people how to drive an automobile. And I think we've lost traction on that, because I really feel that people let the cars drive them too much. And we've done it to ourselves. We govern stupidity nowadays. But we really want to fix this. And I think people need to go through a driving class every 2 years. I'm sorry. People get mad when I say that, but you know, with technology and even with the Bluetooth, they say, well, that's safer. No, it's not, because you're fiddling with it the whole time. I mean, look at this phone, this show we've been on. I've had two phone issues just talking to you, just road noise or whatever. So lucky my buddy of mine was driving me. But I really want people to go back through driver's ed again. And the cars are getting safe. But I really don't want a car to drive me, because I really enjoy a car. I don't want an A to B in car. When I buy a car, I'm looking for performance and drivability, and I really get off on new cars. I'm sorry, I have 11 cars, Alan. That's how ate up I am. So
what do you mean you
own 11?
Give me an example. What do you got?
Well, I've got a 06 CLS AMG. I just bought one owner, and we got it up to about 550 horse now. We're going to increase it to about 800. I have a brand new GLE 350 Mercedes SUV. I love that thing. It'll climb a tree, because we get snow around our area. It stinks.
Yeah.
And then I have 257 Chevys. I have a motorhome, two car trailers, and then about four company cars that I house. Mm. So I just love them, and I get excited when I buy my employees' cars to drive. That's part of their deal. Some of my producers on my other show, I buy company cars, because I just think that everybody should be in a nice new car, because we're a car show. I'm just kind of generous.
Hold on. I got to play some Spice Girls for you, okay? Hold on. We're talking with Boots from Auto Smarts and Street Rod and Custom Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Seems like I know everybody. I don't know whether that's a curse or a blessing. Stephanie, drive safe out there. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang on.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Well, this is The Drive, playing a little Alan Jackson for my friend Boots, Stan Longinette.
Hey, you know, one thing I didn't touch on, Alan, I've always been a big GM guy, especially 55, 72, but I recently acquired a 76 Chrysler Cordoba with Corinthian leather.
Oh!
And she's brand new, one owner. I have, this is how ate up I am. I have my original Krager SSs from 1984. I've kept them clean in storage. The tires are about rotted off from being in storage, but I put four brand new tires on them, bolted those on there, took it to my 30th class reunion, and it was the hit because if anybody remembers me, I had a blue Cordova. Now, this one's black, but I'm going to leave it because it's original paint. But we are going to put a new 392 6.2 Hemi. I'm going to put an automatic because I don't want to mess up the console, but we're going to put a new Hemi motor in and put all the modern drivetrain. That's going to be probably this winter as soon as I can find a nice total donor car.
But see, so you know, what you're talking about here is exactly what happens. And it's so funny because, you know, when we're young, when we're kids and we get our first car, I mean, that is freedom, right?
Yeah.
When you get a car and you don't have to ride that bike anymore or take the bus or get a lift from your parents or your friends or walk, God forbid that, all of a sudden you become something special. It gives you a whole new outlook on life. So when you have that friend, you know, they say a man's best friend is a dog, and I believe that, but the next thing behind that is his car.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it gives you that freedom. It's like that sticks with you for your whole life. Now, one of these days, I'm going to have a 66 Chevelle. And because I had a Corvette yellow with, like you said, Krager mag wheels. Mm-hmm. And I still remember the first time I had that car, maybe 3 or 4 days. And I thought, I'm going to pop the clutch and burn out. And I popped the clutch and burn out. And the rear wheels, one of them, I guess, you know, it was just weak at that point, and all the studs sheared off, and the wheel went bing, and it went flying down the road all by itself. And there I was on the side of the road like an idiot, and everybody was laughing at me. But all those things are part of growing up. That's kind of American graffiti of our youth, yeah. Right?
So absolutely, and I wouldn't change my life for, you know, Alan, every day I pray that I'm the luckiest man on the planet. And because, you know, I run into old football coaches and like my old shop teacher and my class reunion, and they come up and give me big hugs. And like even my buddies like, dude, you found your calling, you found your dream. And I can't thank our patriots enough in this country. I mean, you saw my post on Facebook. I am all about this wonderful country, and I'm all about the opportunities, my family, and the best parents in the world like you did. If you have great parents, you can't help but be successful unless you totally fumble the ball.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, you know, and I'll give you a little credit for that because I don't often comment on your stuff because you're a competitor in many ways, and I don't like you too much.
I'm on your team, brother.
I know you are. But when you put that you were – he works, by the way, I'm not exactly sure how to describe what you do for NASCAR and racing. Maybe do that real quick.
Well, short track racing. It's a local NASCAR track. It's a third-mile paved oval. And I run the infield with another guy in the pace truck, and we're the first ones to the wreck. And I also have the infield microphone. I interview all the legends. I even got to interview Rico, the little guy that's coming up in NASCAR. I don't know the PC word, but he is a smaller human being, and he's doing really well in the NASCAR circuit. And I got to interview him, and he's coming up through the ropes. He's in this Craftsman Truck Series now. And he's rocking it out there. So I got to meet Jeff Gordon through NASCAR. And
well, wait a minute.
Really,
let me finish giving you a compliment. Stop bragging over there. Point is,
I'm not understanding the people that you get to meet, and that just furthers on your love for cars. But I work at this local track. Unfortunately, they just sold it. It was the last season in 71 years of history. So I'm saddened by that. But you can't help technology and, you know, things getting better.
Well, that's true. Well, he posted himself there standing at attention. I think you were even saluting. What were you doing there in that picture?
No, I had my hat over my heart.
That's what it was. They were playing the national anthem, and you made a little comment about why you love America and why you would stand and salute during the national anthem because we got some bozos who are putting their you know, knee on the ground and looking down, and as if America isn't something to be amazingly proud of. And unfortunately, you know, when Trump builds the wall after he becomes president, they need to throw some of those people on the other side of it.
Really. I'm glad you said that because I was thinking it when you were talking.
Listen. I gotta go. I gotta go. I'll see you at SEMA. The show he does is Auto Smarts. And he also does a podcast, Street Rod and Custom Radio. I do appreciate your patriotism, and we love this country and our patriots and their families for giving up you know, so much to let their children, our brothers and sisters, go and defend us and our rights to be free. I love America. We'll take a break. This is The Drive. We are the champions of the world. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the show. We're going to have an interesting half an hour or so here. I'm changing it up just a little bit because, you know, sometimes we talk about cars but a lot of people are like, you know, well, you have the funnest life in the world because I test drive cars and I get to drive all over the, well, I get to go all over the world doing things with cars. And, but there's a lot of people out there that actually, you know, they want to do this. So they figure out a way to do it. And there is a way to live the life that Alan Taylor lives. Of course, it takes cubic dollars. How badly you want to do it is directly proportionate to the thickness of your wallet. And for that, if you want to go to a race in Monaco, the Monaco Grand Prix, or if you want to have dinner with, Gene Simmons from Kiss or whatever it might be, which all these things I have done, there's a guy out there. His name is Steve Sims. He's on the line right now. He's founder of the Bluefish Group, and he is known as the Wizard of Oz for people that can afford a lot, that want to do all these wild and crazy fun things. Steve, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure. Happy Saturday.
So, listen, I was introduced to you by our friend Greg Reed of Secret Knock, which secretknock.co, if you guys want to see what that is. I won't blather about that. But, again, very interesting, right? But he says, you guys have got to meet because Steve Sims is not only a big a motorcycle nut, but he worked for Ferrari and has Ferraris. And has been in this business for a long time of helping people realize their dreams. And no matter what that wild and crazy dream is, and maybe you could give just a minute or so on the Bluefish Group. What do you guys do?
The Bluefish.com is where you find all the weird and wacky, but we basically make things happen. And we've been doing it for 20 years. Some examples have been getting married in the Vatican, going down to see the Titanic, riding two up on a MotoGP bike with Randy Mamola, driving a Formula One Ferrari over in Bologna. Those are some of the examples. We did a dinner party recently, actually last year, for a client wanted somewhere exclusive in Florence. So we took over the Accademia, which is the museum that houses Michelangelo's David, and then had Andrea Bocelli come in halfway through and serenade him. So We're basically the real life Wizard of Oz.
You know, it's funny. Here's the reason why this came up. I was telling a friend of mine how I went on this event with Porsche. And Porsche, what they want to do is they want you to experience their car. When you're an automotive journalist, when I was working with Car and Driver magazine, they want you to experience the car in the setting that they feel is kind of the best setting. And so they called and said, listen, we're going to take a couple people to Italy, and we want you to drive all over Italy in the Porsche Turbo convertible. And, of course, that'll help you do your story. That'll help you, you know, with video to make videos of the beautiful countryside and the car in these exotic places. And they said, and by the way, if you ever saw the movie Le Mans, Steve McQueen was in the movie Le Mans, and The movie had another guy in it, a professional race car driver named Antonio Sabato. And they said, we're gonna pair you up with Antonio Sabato Jr., who was a professional race car like his father, race car driver, and also an actor and everything else. And they said, you know, do you want to go? It's like 4 days in Italy. And I'm like, hell yes. Now, again, that's the kind of thing where dreams come true, right? So when I went on this event, we went to Italy, and I meet Antonio Sabato Jr., and we pull up to the stop sign, and the other three or four Porsches are turning to the right, and the sign in front of us said Rome to the left. And I look at Antonio Sabato, and I go, man, Rome, I want to see all that. I want to go to Rome. And he goes, well, everybody's going this way to, I don't know, whatever town they were going to. And I go, no, Rome. He goes, I was born in Rome. I said, then, you know what? You're the guy that needs to show me Rome. So we went to Rome. We went to the Vatican and literally pulled up out in front of the Vatican. And, you know, you can't get very close, but we pulled up out front and we bought a sandwich from a little vendor there. And I said, who gets to eat lunch at the Vatican on the hood of a Porsche Turbo? With Antonio Sabato Jr. Me, that too! All right, stay with us. I'm going to take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to add Chris Duke from Motors TV to the group here. We're talking with Steve Sims. You can check him out at thebluefish.com. If you want to do what I do, Steve can help you do it. We'll take a little break. It is The Drive. Introducing the newest addition to the Craftsman C3 lineup, the C3 19.2-volt brushless drill driver. A brushless motor means you get 50% more runtime, 30% more power, and a motor life 10 times longer than the traditional brush motor drills. With up to 600 inch-pounds of torque, LED integrated lights, and a Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck to lock bits solidly in place, you'll get even your most difficult projects done fast. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Craftsman, made to make. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and I have been living this wild and crazy life for going on 30 years now, traveling the world, testing cars and boats and motorcycles and all kinds of mechanized machines with the best automakers in the world, which, you know, we're fortunate here in America. We don't get any bad cars. They're all good, just levels of goodness. Our guest right now is Steve Sims. He's the founder of The Bluefish Group. And he will help you realize your automotive or any kind of dream. If you want to check him out online, it's thebluefishgroup.com. Very, very interesting. And there is no phone number. We have no idea how they actually reach you or reach them. Matter of fact, let me see if Chris Duke is here. Hey, Chris Duke, are you able to hear me yet? Let's see if he's there. Nope, we're having a little trouble hooking up with Chris Duke this morning. We'll get back to him just momentarily. Steve, let me ask you something. How do people get a hold of you? And obviously, it's not for everybody because, you know, again, how badly you want to do these things, as I said before, is directly proportionate to the thickness of your wallet. Obviously, I saw a picture of you with Elon Musk. I mean, the photos of you with the people you interact with are quite amazing. But how do people get a hold of you?
Well, just small correction. The actual website is thebluefish.com.
I'm sorry. That's right. Okay.
Ain't no worries, pal. And when you get there, you realize there's no phone number because you have to apply for membership. And we do materialistically charge $5,000 per member. And for that, you get one of us and a phone number. And then we start chatting with you and going, look, you know, what's going to light you up? What's going to keep you aroused at night? And that's when we go out and do it. So it's really a case of getting to know you. So the clients that come to us, they either go to the website and apply for membership, and then you get interviewed. You can't pay online for membership. You get an interview. Or they come through current members that have done these wild and wacky things and say, hey, you got to speak to Sims. You got to speak to Bluefish. And they will then make an introduction direct to me.
So it's called The Bluefish Group. The website, again, bluefish.com, thebluefish.com. Okay, how did you get into this, Steve?
Ah, well, the gritty details need to be had with a whiskey in your hand, that's for sure. but to give the polite the PC version, I was a doorman in a nightclub in Hong Kong, and I aspired to live your life. I came from a construction background. And so being a big, ugly fellow, I was doing what I did best and just standing on a door telling people no. And I started throwing parties for expatriates, entrepreneurs, rich kids, but basically making sure that you only got past me if I liked you. Right. So once I got to like you, then I was throwing these kick-ass parties. Literally, they went from Hong Kong, Bangkok, Geneva, Palm Beach. We worked with...
Okay, keep going.
We worked with the New York Fashion Week, the Grammys, Elton John. So it's gone from 20 years from like shady little dodgy nightclubs in Wan Chai, Hong Kong, to, you know, hanging out with Elton John at his Oscar party every year. It's quite amazing how far it's gone and how far people have let me just play for a living.
You know, it's funny here. I'm looking at your bio and it says, Steve Sims is an ugly kid from outskirts of London. Wasn't born into luxury, but certainly holds his place there now. He's been quoted in publications like Wall Street Journal, Forbes, London Sunday Times, and South China Morning Post. And, you know, it's like, how does a guy do this? Talking about an ugly kid. Let's see if Steve, I've got the ugly kid, Steve Sims, but let's see if Chris Duke is available yet. Chris, are you there?
I am. I'm on phone now. Yeah.
Oh, well, that, you know, it's better than nothing, by the way. And I don't, listen, if you're just joining the conversation, you know, for so long, even when I met you, Chris, and by the way, say hi to Steve Sims.
Hey, Steve, how's it going, man?
It's going well, thank you.
So when I first met Chris Duke, I mean, he had a TV show, Motors TV, and I said to him, how do you get your own TV show like that? And he's like, you just do it. And I'm like, you know, yeah, easy for you to say. You're in 190 million homes. You're on 7 networks. You got videos that have 1 million views. And you just do it, right? So he says to me, well, how do you have the life you have? And I go, you just do it, right? I guess Nike's right. Just do it, right, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, with me, you just pay for it.
Well, that's just doing it. Just write the check.
Hey, I've got to give a shout out to Alex Schaffman, who's a massive fan of yours and an incredible racer. He's got this incredible Porsche out in Texas. He loves your show. He's a great motivational speaker, dude. So I've got to give a plug to my dear pal there.
No, that's awesome. All right. Well, listen, we're going to stay with you for a little bit. I want to learn about some of the other fun things that you do and how people can live out their dreams. And the fact is that you can, if you have enough money, do anything you want in this world. Some things you don't want to tell the world about, but I'm sure Steve can help you figure that out. TheBlueFish.com. I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to The Drive. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
I'm in love, I'm in love. Take my word, my word.
The guy singing is Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. That's ZZ Top. I did a show for a year with Billy called Monster Radio. It was literally... It was like living a rock star's life for a year. They drink a lot of beer, I'll tell you that. Chris Duke is on the line from Motors TV. He would be here with me for the whole hour. Our special guest is Steve Sims. He is the founder of the Bluefish Group, bluefish.com. Very interesting, you know, if you want to sing with a rock star or have lunch with somebody like Donald Trump or get married in the Vatican by the Pope. Did I understand right, Steve, that somebody actually got married in the Vatican and the Pope came out or something?
That's correct. Yep, he wanted to do that. He wanted to do it in grand scale, so that was a couple of years ago. But, yeah, that's what we do.
So, but what about singing with rock stars? I mean, what do you do, sing with them in the green room, or how do you deal with that?
Do you know, I've got a story for that, but you will plug in Billy. We actually had an Australian guy. He's in the dental industry, and he collects guitars. And he actually had a dream of playing guitar with Billy Gibbons. We flew him to New York during the New York Fashion Week, sent him to the New York Fashion Week so he looked after his wife, and then sent him over to Billy Gibbons where he got a guitar lesson, hung out backstage during one of the concerts. So we've worked with Billy as well. It's pretty cool.
That's crazy. What about this story I heard about Journey singing on stage or something?
So a really cool guy was poor, was broke back in college, but used to work on a cover band for Journey. And now he's a big-time TV dude in the financial world. And he quite simply contacted us via Richard Branson that he wanted to meet Journey and just say, hey, thanks for your music, you know, perpetuating me through my life to where I am now. And we just thought, you know, a kind of warm hot dog and a handshake backstage wouldn't really cut it.
Yeah.
So we chatted with Journey, told him about his story, and actually got him on stage, and he sang four tunes live on stage as the shortest-termed lead singer of the rock band Journey in San Diego. So we just took it as far as we try to take things further than you can imagine, but as far as we can push it.
I understand. I'm just looking at this stuff on you. It's like, what haven't you done? You were a Welsh and British featherweight champion and champion kickboxer, too. It's like, you're an animal. You're an animal, man.
I was. I get out of breath tying up my shoes now. But there was a time.
You are a complete animal. Now, tell me about your love with motorcycles. It seems like you're a big motorhead.
Well, I was always into the cars, and I had the chance of working with Ferrari, so I got to see the inner workings there. But even prior to that, I was a two-wheel boy. And I always loved, Bologna, so I was always a mad fan of Ducati. And it's just grown. And I'm actually speaking with you now in my garage where I'm just looking at Ducatis and Norton Commandos and a couple of Harleys and a couple of Triumphs. So you just get engaged. And you spoke earlier about the Porsche in Italy,
right,
and the best place to experience it. I'm all about the experience. So when you're doing 150 mile an hour in a car, hey, that's really cool, but you've still got something numbing the senses, like windows on a roof. When you're on a motorcycle, the wind is pitching you from different directions. The road gets a bit of clag or a bit of gravel, and you feel it come through you, and you know it, and you adjust accordingly. So you experience in that moment, and also you can't think about anything else right when you're doing that, or you go down.
You know, you're so right. And it's so funny because it's almost like you were with me on that trip to Italy. It was in the, I don't know, it was 10, 15 years ago. But we were in convertible Porsche 911 Turbo. Antonio Zabato, a Porsche factory driver, race car driver. And we were doing 150 miles an hour often in that car. And I said, is there a speed limit here in Italy? He says, oh, yeah. And I said, well, I mean, isn't it, you know, like, kind of like the Autobahn? I didn't really know what. He goes, no, there's a speed limit. I go, what'll happen? And, you know, right about then we kind of made a turn and pulled up to a stoplight. And there was two cops with machine guns on their backs, right? And he goes, we'll probably go to jail. I go, I'm not going to jail. I'm going to tell him I'm your hostage. You know, the guy was an animal. Anyway, so let me ask you something. I understand that Bentley gave you a car for a year. What was that about?
So there was a dealership in Palm Beach, and I was doing a ton of media at the time, and we were doing polo. We were doing a bunch of big stuff. And this dealership had the new Bentley GT come out, and actually, a good friend of mine, Justin and Derek Bell, because you mentioned earlier about the Le Mans movie.
Right.
Derek was actually doing all the testing. So he would come over and just, like, you know, wax lyrical about how brilliant this Bentley GT is. So when this dealership, the Bentley dealership in Palm Beach, came out with it, I was actually driving a Porsche Turbo. And so they said to me, they said, look, we want you to be driving this Bentley GT. So for any TV and stuff like that, you know, you're in this Bentley GT. So they gave me this Bentley GT. It was great, but, you know, here's the funny thing. At the end of 1 year, I had about 1,200 miles on that and about 5,000 miles on all the motorbikes, because I would literally come home, park it, go out on the bike. If there was a TV thing, I'd go in the car. But other than that, I used to just sit in the driveway all the time.
You're an animal. That's Steve Sims, everybody. If you want to live the life or the lifestyle of the rich and famous, or just fulfill some dream, he is pretty much the Wizard of Oz, a little Elton John playing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, by the way. You can find him at thebluefish.com, thebluefish.com. Steve Sims, I want to hang out with you, brother. I really do.
It's got to happen. Got to happen.
All right. Listen, thanks for being on the show with us, man. Really appreciate it. I love that. We'll take a little break and be back with more of The Drive. You can live that dream. TheBlueFish.com. It's The Drive. Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how. Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction. Visit BarrettJackson.com for more information. And don't forget the next Barrett Jackson coming up October 13th through the 15th at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. October 13th through the 15th, Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Check it out. Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction and exhibition. I'll be there, and I'll be doing a seminar series, so a lot of fun. Teach people how to buy and sell and, you know, how to do it, but why to do it and when to do it and where to do it. Our guest right now, besides myself and Chris Duke, who's the host of Motors TV, and we'll get to him in just a couple of minutes. I mean, you're on the line, Chris, but you and I are going to talk about what you did. Yeah. They packed the show so doggone full, and then we had a trouble hooking up with you here this morning. But is Celia Stokes, and she's the CEO of eDriving.com. They're the largest provider of online driver training and global driver risk management solutions. And it's funny because we talk on the show all the time about, you know, the joy of driving and the crazy places we go. And Chris was just yesterday driving all kinds of crazy Jeeps and vehicles on the mountainside in Malibu. And I was over, doing stuff I can't even tell you on the radio because, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But the reality is that Chris and I are what, you know, when you see on the bottom of the screen, it says professional driver closed course. You know, most of the time we do a lot of these things on closed courses and racetracks and or we go to the Autobahn where you can drive, you know, 150 miles an hour or places like that. But so many people are ill prepared for driving. They think they can get behind the wheel and take some of these amazing cars like my Viper. And unfortunately, they are just not prepared for that. So, Celia, thank you for being on with us and tell us a little bit about eDriving.com.
Happy to join. eDriving is focused on helping everyday drivers and most importantly, the newest drivers, the ones who are just joining the road for the first time, and fleet drivers who are out putting, you know, thousands of miles a year on their car and driving for their companies. We're focused on helping all of these kinds of drivers really be in better control of themselves. You know, you kind of touched on it. Everyone thinks they're a great driver. Everyone thinks they're a great driver. And the truth is most of us are not a good driver. And we have, all of us have kind of what I think of as our driving vices. And we either, there are our own dirty little secrets that we don't know them, or which is one form of danger, or we know them and we ignore them. And, you know, it was a really good wake-up call for me when I joined the company to kind of go through that self-awareness process of what I was bringing behind the wheel, including things like, you know, eating my breakfast on the way to work.
Who doesn't do that?
Right.
Breakfast and so, while shaving on the way
I am
to work.
A reformed non-oatmeal eater now in the car. And so we all have these vices, tailgating being the number one. 94% of road incidents are due to driver attitudes and behaviors. It's not about knowledge.
I live with Chris Duke driving that way all the time. The attitude, Chris.
We're good at seeing it in other people, but you know, most of us are carrying it behind the wheel. So we are.
I don't know what you're talking about. Leave me alone. By the way, October.
Not that I know anything in particular about you, Alan.
That's right. October 3-7 is Drive Safely Work Week, sponsored by the Network of Employers for Traffic Safety. And I have people that work for me that have to drive vehicles, and man, I tell you what, it's something really, as an employer, it's something really that I worry about a lot. I mean, and insurance, my goodness, the price of insurance these days is very high. So I think this is a great, whatever you guys are doing. Matter of fact, what are you guys doing? Because I'm interested and I'm an employer. So tell us how do we get involved?
Well, it starts with a toolkit that is available both. I'm going to direct you to trafficsafety.org, which is the sponsor of Driver Safety Work Week. Is a fantastic organization called the Network NETS, the Network of Employers for Traffic Safety. It's a public-private partnership that comprises. You know, big companies, big global companies who want to get their employers home safely. And so the toolkit starts with a fantastic assessment that we have provided free that already has about 500,000 test takers. It's a fully validated by four different universities, and it takes about 20 minutes to go through. And it gives you a score at the end. It scores you on your attitudes, your driving behaviors, and it gives you a score at the end, and it compares you to other people. And so we believe that the first step to improvement on the road is self-awareness. So this is your first kind of empirical evidence about what you're really bringing behind the wheel, and it'll be a wake-up call.
All right. Well, hold on a second.
And I want to say the next week, and this is something I know you've talked about before and is near and dear to your heart, given the folks you've got in your home who are new drivers. But the week after is Teen Driver Safety Week. So these two weeks are all about really creating awareness about what we are bringing behind the wheel. And as we think about Teen Driver Safety Week, which we're also going to be providing a free toolkit then, it's all about, you know, awakening a sense of accountability in the parents about what kind of, as you said earlier, the do as I say, not as I do, but, you know, the most important thing, the way the kids are learning are by watching from the back seat what mom and dad are doing.
Right, right.
So we're very focused on making sure parents understand how important their role is in getting their teen to be a safe driver, modeling the right behavior, and we're encouraging them to take the same assessment so they can...
All right. Take a breath. Let me ask a question. How many people have completed your online assessment? Because I think we should gamify it and make it to where Chris and I can compete and see who can get the better score. How many people have taken this assessment?
500,000.
Oh, my gosh. Chris, are you still there?
Yeah.
Let's see who gets a better score, and then whoever gets a better score has to pay the other guy $100. See, we'll gamify it. A guy, if you can make it a bet or gamify it,
That's where we're going. We like to call it shamification.
Shamification. There you go. All right. Well, listen, eDriving.com, Celia is the CEO of that. You guys can all find out more information about this and take that free road risk self-assessment at trafficsafety.org. Again, it is the October 3-7 is Drive Safely Work Week. And next week after that is Teen Driving. Celia, thank you very much for bringing this to our awareness. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Safe driving out there.
All right, definitely. Celia Stokes. All right, Chris, when we come back, we're going to see what a good driver you were in that Hellcat Jeep. It is The Drive. We'll be right back. For you to help me run,
to help me get around. Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. you can make a difference.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Buddy gonna shut you down. You're listening to The Driver Show, brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. Also, it is the 25th anniversary of the Craftsman Club. Chris and I are both members of the Craftsman Club. You can find out more at craftsman.com, and they are giving away a Chevy pickup, and you might be able to win it. Learn more at craftsman.com. Chris Duke, the host of Motors TV, 7 or 8 seasons, whatever it is now, lots of episodes, closing in on 100 episodes, and just posted a brand new episode on YouTube. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you today, Alan?
Good goodness gracious me, man. We were supposed to meet up in Malibu the other day, and you got to go and see the Hellcat concept Jeep. That means, everybody, a Jeep Wrangler powered by a 707-horsepower Hellcat V8 engine. And did you get to drive it? That's my question. I'm just curious.
That's the thing. Nobody got to drive it, but it was absolutely beautiful. In fact, it has a lot of aftermarket on it, too. I noticed some aftermarket products that we are actually putting on our Jeep for this year's SEMA show that'll be at the Super Winch booth. But, no, they fired it up. We got to check it out and sit in it, but nobody could drive it.
Well, so, by the way, let's see, Chris Brown, is it Chris Brown? Scott Brown. Scott Brown said to say hello. That's what it was. who was the guy who was at the event with him. You have a project Jeep that you've been whittling away on for those Jeep owners, which Jeep is the 75th anniversary this year of the Jeep brand. And we have been at Motors TV whittling away at adding a supercharger, lift kits, custom this, that, and the other, interior, exterior, under this, winches, all on the episodes of Motors TV. And we just posted one last night. Tell the world what they can see at motors.tv.
Well, if they go to motors.tv, there's, I think, 5 or 6 Jeep episodes now showing everything that we've done to the Jeep, including the supercharger and lifting it, putting on wheels and tires, bumper, winch, everything else. And as far as the exterior, there's so much aftermarket out there that we couldn't fit it all into one episode. And if we did, it would be one of those where we just show a couple seconds of each product, and that's no fun. So we actually broke it up into 2 episodes. There's a Jeep Wrangler Exterior Part 1 that came out earlier, I guess it's October now, so the beginning of September, and Exterior Part 2. And so you can watch both, and each covers about 10 different products. This particular episode covers some really cool stuff. We have some Bluetooth LED lights and a whip and taillights, some really cool tech that's going on. And because, as you know, with the automotive industry embracing all this new technology, there's so many things going on with smartphones and newer tech with wireless and LEDs.
Let me explain. And I had never seen, and I want you to just riff for like 1 minute at least on these headlights you're talking about, because it is like something you've never seen. Explain what they do.
Yeah, so the headlights, it's from HIDprojectors.com, and they are, I think, 6-inch round Jeep headlight replacements. And you can go to their site, and you can customize these things from the number of halos, the light rings that are inside, the colors of them, and then there's this center eye, which can be red, and that's controlled separately via another switch. And so they're completely illegal because of all the colors, and the only colors that are safe are amber and white. But what it does is it gives you this control to, you know, go to car shows and show off to your friends, I guess, all these different things that your headlights can do that nobody else can do. And all these are all these colors and things are controlled via their app, and it's just crazy what you can do with just something as basic as a headlight now. It's just out of control.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when you say they're completely illegal, true, if you're driving on the street and you're making your headlights turn from green to yellow to red, and or this eyeball in the middle. But what's cool is when you are off-roading or whatever and you want to have this sinister red eyeball for the headlight, you can do that. And or if you're at a car show like you're talking about, it's just the cool factor. Now, obviously, you have to drive and do everything responsibly, and you're going to get a ticket if you try and drive on the streets with these crazy headlights. turned anything other than a stock headlight, which they also do, by the way. But the fact that you can customize your vehicle like this, it's just another one of those fun things. And they're really, they're not that expensive, and they add so much kind of fun factor, you know, because, like, what else can you do once you've added all that stuff that you're talking about? You can start to drill down into the minutia of what else can I do? And this is one of those things. How much are they, by the way?
Well, you can, I'm taking a look at their website, and actually they're 7-inch, not 6, I said earlier. I think they start $500 or $600, but you can end up spending well over $1,000 if you get the thing fully loaded up. And yeah, like you said, there is a standard mode. They operate just like headlights with high beams, HIDs. But then you can take them off-road and turn on all these other things and just be really crazy with it. So, but we've even pulled up to restaurants or whatever because they're LEDs, right? So we've turned the devil eyes on and pulled up in front of a restaurant, gone inside and kind of sat inside the restaurant and eat and watch people walking by, look at the front of the Jeep going, what is that?
What is that? Well, check it out at motors.tv. You can go and also subscribe on YouTube. It's got like 100,000 subscribers. Every time we put a new episode up, you'll find out just what you can do to your vehicle. Also, we do some test drives on there. It is called Motors TV, M-O-T-R-Z. TV. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back after this.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Well, don't forget that you can come see us at Barrett-Jackson on the 13th through the 15th of October. I'll be doing a seminar at Barrett-Jackson in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. Barrett-Jackson.com. Also, thanks to our friends at Craftsman, made to make. And Chris and I both use all Craftsman tools. And the beauty of the TV show that Chris is doing, where he's doing the automotive customization, is that it's all just basic hand tools and tools that you can get from Craftsman. No big fancy lifts or any fancy tools that you probably aren't going to buy in your lifetime anyway. So if you've got regular tools, then you can do everything that Chris has done. Chris Duke is on the line, host of Motors TV. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. Chris, what have you been driving? I know you had a Mustang there for a few minutes.
Yeah, you know, Ford came out a couple of years ago, I think, with a couple of different special packages, and the one that they, the one that I got was the GT California Special. Nice. Which is a standard 2016 5.0 liter V8, and you know, your typical Ford muscle car, but it came with a $2,000 California Special package, which had, you know, some different things like you know, different floor mats, and but on the exterior, really made it different are some blacked out wheels, 19-inch wheels, some accent stripes, and then a black spoiler. So think of a standard red Mustang with all these black accents, a black grille, a black spoiler, black wheels, and a couple of stripes. Very cool looking Mustang that you just don't see anywhere. In fact, I've yet to see one on the road outside of that one that I drove for a week. One of the really cool things that it had that I didn't even know that it had until I used them and at night are turn signals in the hood. So think of a Ford Mustang hood and an up on both the left and right-hand sides close to the front of it are some indentations that are facing you, and there's some little turn signal lights in there. And so when you're driving forward, you see these in the hood, just you. I'm sure other people can probably see them too, but they're mainly directed at the driver, which is really interesting and something I've never seen. I was at a turn signal at night, and I was turning left, and I looked at it. I'm like, what is that? You know, so it's like
right.
One of those touches that, you know, they've got all these LED features in the vehicle, inside and outside, with the pony that that shines down on the ground when you open the door. Right. And then there's this. It's like, this is cool. So I love what Ford is doing, just these little extra things to make the vehicle different.
You know, what's funny is I'm a little bit older than you, and I remember In 1970, I was 10 years old. And I remember I had gotten my Schwinn Stingray. I was so proud of myself because I had this cool Stingray. And I guess I became a little more conscious of, you know, something that makes you cool. Because all by yourself, you're just a person, right? But when you get a Stingray, you're a person with a Stingray. And as you get older, you're a person that has a car that is a personal conveyance of who you are. So I remember standing in the Vons parking lot, staring at a car, and I remember distinctly what that car was. It was a Mustang California Special. It must have been a 68 or 9. And so when I was 10 years old, I remember reading the California Special, thinking to myself, and I lived in California, I remember thinking, how cool is that? So I am very, very glad that they brought back the California Special, along with, you know, how they're working with Shelby now, and they're making all these wonderful cars. And you know I owned a Shelby for a while, but, man, it brings back so many awesome memories for me as a young guy. And I have not driven the California Special. I drove the Bullet when they made the Bullet for a little while. And, man, I felt like Steve McQueen was sitting in the passenger seat, you know, everywhere I went. So
well, that's very cool. I didn't know they had one previously, so that's they brought it back.
It was, I think, 67 or 68 when they started offering a California Special. And it was, you know, that's why they bring these things back. Same with that little tiny light on the, was it on the front, kind of the front part of the top of the fender? Is that where it was?
No, it was actually on the hood.
On the hood itself. Okay, very interesting.
Yeah, on the hood. Yeah.
I've seen other car companies that have done those type of things. When it blinks, you're like, hey, look at that. That's kind of cool. That's, again, from the 60s and 70s. Well, Chris, listen, I appreciate everything that you do and the show that we do together, Motors TV. You have done a brilliant job of putting together a great show that anybody can watch and enjoy, because you are showing us out there in the world how to do things with basic hand tools that, you know, the reality is that we all can do these things. And you show us just how easy it really is to make our cars those personal conveyances of who we are. And thank you for all that you do for the car guys out there and gals that watch the show. Watch it again at motors.tv, motrz.tv. You can Google it, find out more, and you will enjoy. I'm Alan Taylor with Chris Duke. We'll see you next week right here on The Drive. See you next week. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a Torque Flight 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.